Blog Talk Radio.
It's morning. No, it's not noontime right here.
It's
afternoon here, and I know we have Cornell with us.
I'm on
again.
The show, my baby.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. How we doing?
I'm doing great.
Hey, good. Darling.
Hey, how my microphone sound?
Your mic actually sounds real good, man. Good to have you back connected to our show.
Thank you. Hey, sis. How you doing, Amanda?
I am doing good, sweetheart. Yeah. Buzzing. Glad to be back.
Definitely.
Yeah, we missed, what day was that? We had a holiday on Monday, I guess it was. It was Infamous People Day.
Yes,
definitely.
There was a new name for it. They were calling it Columbus Day when they realized that Columbus came over and to America, supposedly. I think the Vikings were here. First, anyway, Columbus came over to America and killed a bunch of people to get to where we are right now. And they said, why are we celebrating this? And they changed the name to Infamous People. Not infamous people. What's the word I'm looking for? Indigenous.
Indigenous, yeah.
And he killed a lot of people with a butter knife, right?
So how are we all doing? We have a lot to talk about today. We didn't get to do a show on Monday, so we're going to make up for that and go over some news items and things that happened here in the U.S. for the past, 4 or 5 days, and what's going over in the BBC. And also, we're definitely going to slice out time in this show to do something we've been putting off now for a couple of weeks and bragging about it, and that is going behind the scenes of the television show The Addams Family. If you're all those of you old enough to remember that 60s hit show here, starring John Astin and Carol Jones and some other people, Uncle Fester and Pugsley and Wesley and Cousin It and all those fine
characters
of the Addams Family. We're going to go behind the scenes and talk about some things that went on in the production of that, and maybe even talk about what some of those folks are doing now. I know John Astin, who is the dad, the guy is like 90 some years old now, about 90, and I know that the,
wow.
The kids, Wednesday and Pugsley are older kids, obviously. And Carol Jones died early. She had some cancer, I believe, died at a young age. Sorry to hear that. But we're going to talk about the Addams Family after we hear what's going on in the BBC, right? So, Amanda, what's going on in the world?
Wow. It's crazy here in the UK, because we've still got this whole energy crisis going on, okay? So it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And as people are aware, our energy gas prices have increased 250% since January, which is ridiculous, the cost. So basically, I watched a show the other night where this guy, informs people about how we can save money by all sorts of means, whether it's with solicitors, lawyers, your bills, mortgages, whatever it is, financial situation. He teaches you how to save money. So he was preparing everybody for this energy crisis. And he said on the show, I'm stumped. He said that, you know, there's no advice I can give you right now other than don't do anything, because, of course, we got all these companies now sending all their little scouts round to everybody's houses saying, would you like to change energy provider to save you some money? And people are reluctantly, you know, wanting to do it, but at the same time, they really want to do it because everybody is scared at how much this is going to cost us just to run our energy in our homes here. So, basically, there's a cap, okay? They've got a cap price on the energy prices to, like, a minimum cap. So that minimum cap has gone up to £130 a month. Now, other people were, well, people here were generally paying a lot lower prices, like £80 a month for their gas and electric and that kind of thing. So this huge jump from 80 to 130 is very scary for a lot of people, as you can imagine. But this guy on the TV was saying, look, the reason you shouldn't do anything is because if you don't do anything, the companies that have fallen off the market because of the COVID situation, they will automatically move you into the cap price. If you change to a cheaper alternative or go looking for a cheaper alternative, what people don't know is those cheaper alternatives jumped up in price to £170. So you'll be going from 80 to 170 by just making that cheap change. If you go to in a more expensive company, you're looking to reach nearly £200 a month. So he's advising everybody, please, for now, don't do anything. The cap is for 6 months. So in April, that's going to be reviewed again. So the minimum price you will end up paying is £130. So, you know, everybody's frightened about that. So that's a huge deal at the moment. And Russia has been targeted about this because they're providing a lot of energy for Europe. And Russia is denying that they're weaponizing the energy and gaining from this. So they said, Russia has denied using energy as a political weapon amid surging prices across Europe that have sent gas bills in many households. Households? I nearly said households. So let's go with households.
I thought you said mouse traps.
So, you know, gas bills in many households skyrocketing. Russia, one of Europe's biggest natural gas providers, has been accused of internationally withholding supplies, and President Putin said such claims were complete rubbish and politically motivated tittle-tattle. The European Commission has been outlining measures member states can take to combat rising prices. The wholesale price of gas has increased by 250% since January, triggering a knock-on spike in costs for consumers and businesses. Energy prices have hit record highs for various reasons, including high demand for natural gas as economies recover from the COVID-19 pandemic. Speaking at a Moscow Energy Forum on Wednesday, Putin blamed the current crisis on Europe, saying that after a cold winter, Europeans had not pumped sufficient volumes of gas into storage facilities. He said it was very important to suggest a long-term mechanism to stabilize the energy market. He stressed that Gazprom, Russia's gas giant, was supplying gas to Europe at maximum levels under existing contracts and was ready to provide more if requested. We will increase by as much as our partners ask us. There is no refusal, none, he said. But, you know, I think it's a bit of a ploy at the moment to try and put another pipe in, because they're looking to put another pipe in, another pipeline, which, of course, is going to be beneficial to them. So I think this is all aimed at getting that pipeline in so that we end up saving a lot of energy crisis here and in Europe. So I think that's the tactic here. And, you know, he's claiming that it's not, but I think it is personally. So that's the biggest news right here. And we've got, you know, police all over the news since we had that murder of Sarah Everard and how he abducted her and abused her and killed her. So, you know, many female police officers are coming forward now within the police forces, and they're giving their account of the misogyny that goes on behind doors with, you know, the men thinking they're better police officers than the women. They're like making little advances towards them and claiming it's nothing. Even some of the bosses there are laughing it off. So that's become a serious highlight at the moment in the UK news here. And I think, you know, this is going to be under the spotlight for a little while because there's all sorts of things coming forward with women's safety and the police not being trusted now with all these accounts that are going on, you know.
Man,
so,
what is happening in the UK? That is just like,
It is crazy. Even politicians, we've got politicians that have been hurling abuse at various people. MP Claudia Webb made a string of phone calls in which she threatened to use acid and share naked photos of a woman, all because she was jealous of that woman's relationship with somebody. So, What is going on? This is getting ridiculous.
You know, by the way, anybody wants to join us by dialing into the show, you can do so. We have 10 open lines right now, and the number to do so is 515-605-9888. That'll connect you with the show, and stand by a couple minutes, and we'll get you right in. You can also email us at andyandamandashow@gmail.com, and just send a note. Hey, I want to join you guys. Make sure you have a headset and a microphone and so forth, and you can join the conversation over the internet. Our website is andyandamandashow.com. We have a bunch of other social media that you can report all that kind of stuff on. It's Matic and Infrared and Hotspot and TikTok and tattoos and all that shit. So whatever the platform is, I'm obviously too familiar. You can join the show. We welcome you aboard. Again, 515-605-9888 gets you on the show. Hey, folks, you know what? We haven't played this game in a while. I think it's time we play. So let's see. We're going to play a little game here. We're going to see what's going on with what the people are saying. And it's that time again. We've done a while, so let's load it up here.
And now it's time to play What the People Say here on the Andy and Amanda Show.
I hear this a lot. There's a lot of anxiety and fear of the prospect of Donald Trump becoming president again in 2024. And I'll admit, if he was to become president again, it would be disastrous and the end of our democracy. But I've got some good news. I understand this is my opinion, but I'm basing it on facts we know to be true. We know that Donald Trump's company was indicted. Now that is the death knell for any company. His CFO was indicted. We know that Donald Trump had his hands in everything that happened in the Trump Organization. He is likely to be indicted. Now, down in Georgia, he tried to overturn the election. There's video evidence, there's audio evidence, and there's documented evidence. He's likely to get an indictment there, too. And what about the insurrection? We have video evidence that he incited the riot. But he's probably tied in far deeper than that. And the House Select Committee, as they start interviewing and questioning people, a lot more is going to come out. So this guy is going to be so tied up in legal battles that he isn't going to have time to shit. And he's wearing a diaper, let alone run for president again. Now, a lot of people think the Republicans will gladly welcome him as candidate. I disagree. Donald Trump is and will be an even bigger liability to the Republican Party. All this information comes out, it's not going to make him look good. Some of the people in the middle will say, fuck that, I'm not going that way. They are not going to make him a candidate. Because come 2022, after all this stuff has been exposed, the Republicans are going to finally realize, oh, this is a problem because we lost a lot of seats. So after 2022, they're going to have to figure out a way to remake the Republican Party. Because they ran it down the shitter with Donald Trump. They're going to have to make a big recovery. So they're going to have to come up with a new, better, maybe younger candidate to even be in the running for the 2024 election. Lastly, Donald Trump's health. 3 years from now, Donald Trump will be 78 years old. He's got some cognitive issues, clearly, and he'll have some physical issues, too. I mean, the guy eats McDonald's every day. He's overweight. He does whatever he wants to do. If he's still healthy enough to run in 2024, I will be surprised. So Donald Trump is not going to be president again. Put it this way. We got 99 problems in this country. Trump being president again ain't one.
Can you imagine if we didn't get hit by this freak, this total freak?
So Belgium is a beautiful city. And
let me stop you right there. It's a country, you moron. Damn, Trump is stupid.
Here's what Donald Trump said yesterday about Haitians seeking asylum in the U.S.
Tremendous problem with AIDS. Many of those people will probably have AIDS, and they're coming into our country, and we don't do anything about it. We let everybody come in. Sean, it's like a death wish.
A death wish. It's a funny way of saying you're racist and you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. The same guy that allowed 500,000 Americans to die from COVID due to negligence will just go away. Like a death wish. Not even gonna give him shit over his limited ability to speak. It's too easy. I'll admit, he's really good at scaring people with racism. I'm good at calling out bullshit. Haiti has a population of 11,577,863 people. 150,000 have HIV/AIDS. 1.3%. About the same as Russia, but he wouldn't say that. Means 98.7% of Haitians don't have AIDS. Like I said, easy.
Trump supporters, how low will you go?
I'll tell you, the funniest is that I'll go backstage before a show.
Yes.
And everyone's getting dressed and ready and everything else. And, you know, no men are anywhere. And I'm allowed to go in because I'm the owner of the pageant, and therefore I'm inspecting it. You know, I'm inspecting.
Right.
I want to make sure that
like
everything is good.
You're there.
You have to dress. Is everyone okay? You know, they stand there with no clothes. Is everybody okay? And you see these incredible-looking women. And so I sort of get away with things like that.
So in response to me saying the economy is better under Democrats than Republicans, this guy says the economy is better. You are nuts. No, I'm not. I'm not, sir. You see, every study that has ever been done on this has all said that. Yes, every one. You won't find one that says otherwise. GDP growth is nearly 2% higher under Democrats than Republicans. The average Democratic president creates 1.6 million jobs than the average Republican president. On average, unemployment is like 1.7% lower under Democrats than Republicans. Now, I don't care if it's Democrats or Republicans that have a better economy, really. But I was asked if the oil and gas industry does better under Democrats or Republicans. And I do care about the oil and gas industry, and the oil and gas industry does well when the economy does well. And that occurs when Democrats are in office.
That means they can do anything they want. And now we're going to get money because we want the money. The best is yet to come.
You moron.
Only on the Andy and Amanda show.
I was giggling in little places and was like, conversation on that. You moron.
That, right? I'm like, oh my God. Hey,
that is
Andy.
So funny.
Oh, I guess Andy went to the band from. Hey, Amanda, check this out. Check this out. In the city of Philadelphia, where I was born and raised and everything, right? It's this area called Germantown in Philadelphia, and they have a rat problem going on right now that they can't solve, and the rats are running all toward in the streets and everything, and they can't even.
No way.
Yes, big rat.
Where's the Pied Piper? He's got to be around somewhere, right?
I think the rats ate him because they got they really didn't like that song, so they was like these urban rats, so you know they like hip hop, so so they hear that shit.
is this anybody?
I've got this whole picture forming in my mind right now.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that is so funny.
Is this mic any better?
It sounds awesome, dude. It sounds great.
Good?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I'm good to my ears, Andy.
I'm just playing with a bunch of microphones back here, having fun while you guys are, you know, living up, partying, you know. Anyway, listen. No.
And now we were thinking you were in the bathroom.
hey, listen. We're probably not far off. You know, I wanted to do, when I was listening to that, you know, when I was making coffee while that was playing, and I heard the guy say about Trump's cognitive issues in it, and I should have put in, right after he said that, I should have spliced in person, woman, man, camera, TV. Remember that? His cognitive
yeah,
test?
I do.
That's exactly how he said it, isn't it? That's exact spacing. He said person, woman, man, camera, TV. Got less little space. That's exactly how he did it. That was his cognitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just aced that. Yeah. But so that's going on. And also, we've talked about this. You know, guys, I used to be a pilot. That was my career, and that's what I went to school for and all that. And you get a gig, and it's a fun job. You know, not necessarily mentally stimulating for a whole career, which was my issue with it. But nonetheless, a fun job. But anyway, I don't know if you guys have seen the headlines or read the news that Southwest Airlines had to cancel over 2,000 flights because pilots walking off the job because they're mandated to get vaccines and they don't want to. Not only Southwest, but this is going to start spreading throughout other airlines and other professions. So here is a very interesting, you know, I'm like, you know, when you go to school, you have to get, you know, inoculated for smallpox, measles, mumps, whooping cough, meningitis, other things. Nobody complains. Oh, it's my freedom. My freedom. You can't make me get a tetanus shot. That's my freedom. It's my right to choose. I can die.
Yes.
That's my right if I want to die. Anyway, but not only are we talking, as we know, with the COVID vaccine, are we talking about protecting your own health, but also the health of others and your family and your loved ones and people you might run into wherever, you know? So it's much more, you know, as opposed to some of these other vaccines. Well, measles is much more 10 times the contagious rate of COVID, and we have no complaints about getting injected and inoculated about measles. Why don't you not do that and get measles and spread that to people? Why not? That's your right, right? Anyway, so here's a pilot. He's not identifying himself as a Southwest pilot, but I know that he is. So take a listen to this.
Okay.
I've been an airline pilot for 18 years, and now I'm facing an ultimatum.
Oh, my goodness, an ultimatum. That is terrible. What are they going to do, take your house, your land, your children?
I'm being told in order to continue my career as an airline pilot, I must be vaccinated.
Wait, I thought you said an ultimatum. That sounds like a choice to me.
Which really means I have to choose between putting food on the table for my family and my freedom of choice.
Let me see if I got this right. Take a shot. Keep feeding your children, keep your job, save other people's lives, including your own and your kids and your wife, or you cannot take the shot, lose your job, put your kids' lives in danger, have trouble feeding them. Oh, wait, Burger King's hiring up to $14 an hour, I hear.
We, the American people, have fought for freedom for 257 years.
No, for 257 years, we colonized this country. We killed the indigenous people. We stole their land and their children, and we continue to do so till this very day. We enslaved an entire people after we drug them out of their homeland to this country. Oh, and we continue to beat them and kill them in the streets today.
We go around the world spreading ideas of freedom and democracy.
It seems you keep having trouble with being right. We go to other countries to colonize those countries and instill our beliefs in our religion and our government onto other cultures that don't want it. But, hey, to each his own, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you really put it in perspective there, the way he worded that.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway,
come back to this all the time with people as well, you know, with choice. People say, oh, I have no choice. Everybody always has a choice. It means that it's not a choice you're happy to make or normally willing to make, but it's still a choice.
Yep. Yeah, it's all a choice. But this is, you know, this is a devastating virus that's killed many and ruined many of families by losing their loved ones and friends and just, you know, for the whole world, not just, you know, in the Western civilization, but around the world. It's been absolutely devastating to this planet. And there's a fix for it. We can fix it. We can make it go away just about entirely. And why one would say, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, if there are some underlying medical conditions that are dictated by a physician definitely saying you should not do this vaccine. Okay, I put that aside, and although I'd question some of that as well. But anyway, just because of how the biology of the vaccine and how it works, you know, some physicians might, believe it or not, some physicians might not know how it works. They might think it's like a, you know, a flu vaccine or something else where they actually inject some of the, dead virus into your system to build up an antibody network. That's not how this works. We're not going to go into that now because we've done so in detail in the past. I don't feel like doing it now. But anyway, so some physicians might not know that. I don't know that for a fact, but it's possible. And that's why they might say to their patients that you shouldn't, you know, take this, get this injection. You know, again, I don't know that as a fact, but it's possible. But the thing is that it seems to me, you know, this is just my humble perspective, that most of the anti-vaxxers are anti-vaxxers not because of they're afraid or worried about the biological consequences of being vaccinated, of which there are most none, but rather a choice to do so as a result of their freedom being infringed upon. And that's what scares me in terms of who we are, you know, who we are as a people, who we are as a united world, as a planet that was so adversely affected by this thing, that we can all group together as one and make it, you know, almost disappear. And the choice not to, just because of freedom being infringed upon, you've got to be kidding me. You've absolutely got to be kidding me.
You know? Hey, Andy, you know what? It's so crazy that people are leaving their jobs because of this. They're like, yo, I don't want to get vaccinated. And how are you going to – my thing is this. How are you going to be able to support your family if you're leaving a job that you've been in for 20 years, you was making great money? Nurses, you got firemen, you got police, you got doctors, you got everybody leaving just because they don't want to take the vaccination. I took the vaccination. There's nothing wrong with me.
You know, we're all, you know, everybody, you know, I know one person who's a very dear long-term friend of mine who's chose not to get vaccinated. As a matter of fact, another friend who I know from this person was an anti-vaxxer. I shouldn't say anti-vaxxer, you know, not like this rebellion. I'm not my freedom. She never seemed like that. Just said, I'm just not going to do it.
Hey, Andy, I think you just created a shirt for the people that don't want to get vaccinated.
Anti-vaxxer.
Anti-vaxxer. But she chose not to get vaccinated, ended up getting severely affected by COVID and survived and changed her tune. And everybody who we know, I think, unless, you know, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but everybody associated with our show has been vaccinated. My whole family has been vaccinated. All my friends, except this one, have been vaccinated. I'm fine. Oh, and I read this morning, by the way, and we'll put this out here too, that if you have been inoculated via the Pfizer vaccine, more than 6 months ago, go ahead and get a booster. You can call your local drugstore, pharmacist, doctor, bam, doesn't cost anything. Go ahead and go in there and get this little, boom, this booster shot, and you're good to go. For those of you who have done the Modelo, then you are Modelo.
I'm definitely waiting. I took that one. Me and Amanda, we waiting, right?
All right.
All right. Tell me, please.
Moderna. Thank you. Moderna.
Moderna. I say Moderna. Oh my God.
Moderna. Yeah. I got Modelo. I keep doing that. I got Modelo on my brain.
That's a good thing.
Moderna. I'm a Moderna dude. Are not yet approved for a booster. And here's the deal with the Moderna.
Oh no! What are we gonna do?
You normally get 100 milligrams. Excuse me, not 100 milligrams. 100 micrograms.
Oh my gosh! You're
going to Nirvana. Whoa! What the hell is that? You know, you get 100 micrograms of mRNA in each of the two vaccines, and it is very, very long lasting. There's no evidence right now that you need a booster, although they are saying if those little watchdog that sit external to your cells that are looking for this invasion don't see it after months and months and months and months, they kind of say, I guess they don't need me anymore, and they go away, or they weaken, which would lower your susceptibility rate from a 95% to maybe 85 or 90 or something like that over months, where the Pfizer vaccine takes you down after 6 months from 90% to 80%. And if you get that booster, bam, you're right back up there again. With the Moderna, they are saying you might not need. Although if you've already received a booster, you said, hey, you know, it's been 6 months or whatever, I'm going to go ahead and call CVS or wherever and just go ahead and get another vaccine. And when you do that, they don't even ask.
Yeah.
Like, okay, your card, they put down the third shot and you're out of there. They don't say, is this a booster? You know, they don't do that. You just say, hey, I want my vaccine. You go and get it. Anyway, and that can't hurt you. So if you received a Moderna a booster, which will be the equivalent of the original first two shots, it ain't going to hurt you. It ain't going to hurt you. But what they're saying now is that maybe that Moderna booster, when the approval comes from the FDA, should be 50 tons. I mean, 50.
Oh, my God. That sounds like a whale.
Should be 50. What do I have to drink this morning? Let me think. A couple of vodka.
You know what? We're talking about vaccination. I hope people are like, hold it. That's what it does to you?
It feels you're like
right.
You're definitely
not taking it, right?
I'm just going ahead of myself here. It's 50 micrograms. And some of the people who've gotten the or received a booster have said their arm felt like tons of what I'm saying is their arm felt like a lead weight, like, oh my God, I can't lift my arm, you know, whoa. And that lasts for a day or so if you get that side effect. I didn't get any side effects, but the 50 tons of Modelo, that's what I want. Hell yeah. Back it on up. Come on back. Right here.
Come on.
Right here.
Come on.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. So, Cornell.
Yes.
How's the wife doing, man?
Oh, she's doing awesome, man. She's riding around and just, you know, I'm home. I mean, I'm in our studio right now, just, you know, on the Andy and Amanda show. Hey, did you hear what I talked to Amanda about previously?
Let me think.
About the Germantown rats? That's taken over Germantown in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Is that a rock and roll band?
No, it's real rats. They have rats. They have a bad problem in Philadelphia.
Tickets go on sale Monday, 9 a.m. The Germantown Rats. Woo! Rock on.
There.
So, Germantown Rats, yeah.
Yeah, they have a problem. They can't control the rats in Germantown. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Germantown rats. Do they have an accent by any chance?
They might have. You know, actually, I've seen them dancing down the street.
Fantastic.
Hey, Amanda.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yes, darling.
Do you like to dance?
I do. I really do.
Venus.
Am I any good, Nick?
I like my hips to be held, and I like to, like, you know, so I can still move back and forth and, you know, work it, like, twerk it.
Oh, that's my baby right there.
Yeah, I'm not sure about working it and twerking it, you know, and I'm not sure how good
I
am at
it,
but, you know.
Or TikToking it.
TikToking it, yeah.
Isn't she romantic? You are very sexy. You have a very sexy voice, Amanda. Very sexy.
Oh, I
thank you. You do. I can just hear on 8,000 miles away. We've never met, folks. 8,000 miles away and just listen to your voice all day long. You know, just very.
Oh, that's so
you could just
sweet.
Read me a poem and I'd sit in my outdoor lounge or my hammock and you could sit there and feed me grapes and read me poetry.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds like something.
And fan you at the same time, right?
Yes. That sounds like something Caesar would do.
Exactly, yeah. I can just see it now, the hair all up in curls, you know, the flowing gown.
He had the crown and everything. As soon as she don't feed him, he'll feed it to the lions. Nah.
Yes. Feed me my grapes, woman, or you shall go to the lions.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Mr. Kimball. I'm sorry.
You know,
I'm sorry.
Trump, a guy was talking about Trump before. He was known for that. He was.
And the fact that I have more than, I will have by the end, more than 300, first term. Think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
He get busy. He be getting busy. Oh, yeah.
I like that. He be getting busy.
He be getting busy. Hell yeah. That White House, they're rocking and rolling. Hell yeah.
That guy. That dude. I don't know.
Unreal.
What are we going to do with him?
Hey, I got to say this.
Okay. I'm bracing myself.
I'm trying to remember what I was going to say. Wait a minute. I got to say something. What was it?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
I got it. I was down because there's a news story I want to talk about real quick, and it reminded me of something I actually witnessed myself. And,
okay.
Go down to the Southern California shoreline around the coast, which is not far from where I live and not far from our coast to coast. What's wrong with me today? Our show, studio.
You might as well say Mork and Mindy.
Mork and Mindy Studios. You'd see about 55 right now, about 55 big freighters from 700 to over 1,000 feet anchored off the shore from Long Beach up to L.A., even south of Long Beach, anchored as far as you can see, anchored. Because during COVID, the Pacific Rim manufacturers who manufacture computer chips and other accessories and clothing and, you know, goods, consumer goods of all, you know, textiles and technology and even automobiles and so forth, you get the idea, loading with huge train boxcars of freight and goods. And they come into the port from the Pacific Rim. They come into Long Beach or Los Angeles. They offload into trucks and make their way across the country. And during COVID, these manufacturing plants weren't doing anything, obviously. No one's buying anything. Manufacturers didn't – their employees weren't coming to work. Everything came to a halt, as we all know, just about anyway. And suddenly when restrictions lifted and masks and vaccines and so forth, okay, we got to get back to some type of civilization here and get things rolling. Well, they did. They all loaded up their big freighters at, you know, almost at once in terms of the macro scale of things and sent them across the ocean, which takes about 7 or 8 days. And there's only room for one or two freighters to come into port to offload with these big cranes at a time. And you've got at one time 78 ships out there. So that put a standstill to a large part of the economy in the United States, because as you drive around to car dealer lots, there's no cars. Car manufacturers aren't getting the chips they need for the technology aspects of production, computer companies and so forth. Nothing shipping over here. Things are shipping here. They can't get offloaded. They're, you know, if you want to swim out to a tanker and find what you bought, go ahead. So it's just unbelievable. And what's happening? There's a global supply chain crisis now, which is another spinoff of the havoc that the coronavirus has placed amongst our society, our worldwide society, not just the fact that injured and killed many people, but also the effect that this thing's having and has had on our global economy. I mean, there are container vessels and trucking companies that move goods around the world that are now horribly congested due to a rapid rebound in demand for goods. And consequently, as we know, we've talked about the stock market a lot on the show, especially our Friday shows. The stock prices, the investment value of a lot of these companies that are manufacturing has really been doing pretty well, up and down, but on a steady climb upward. They're manufacturing. They're producing things. Companies are ordering from them. But we can't take delivery of those goods.
Right.
So there's been a huge disruption in global supply chain, and it's getting worse. You know, ahead of the holidays at all times. You know, we're talking about spurring shortages of some products and delays and higher prices for consumers because we, you know, economics 101. You know, you increase demand, you reduce supply. Yeah. What happens to the prices?
That's true, Andy.
Yeah, very much
because
so.
My mother-in-law, she's living in Savannah, Georgia, and they said it's like they can't get no chicken wings or something like that.
Wow. Chicken wings. Hell, I'd protest. There's a video. Speaking of chicken wings, there's a video of a bunch of I'm an atheist Jew, being Jewish, so I'm not being derogatory here. But there's a video out there.
Makes
of
three of us.
Cornell is too. I'm sorry, Cornell. I know. Excuse me for that. Yeah, Cornell and I are both Jewish. So I'm not speaking.
And Amanda.
You know.
Well, I'm too honest. That helps.
So you're Jewish. Anyway, I got to tell you a funny story about this. I got to tell you, I'll get back to that in a second. But anyway, there's a YouTube video, or it's a TikTok, I forget. You probably find it on YouTube, of a bunch of elderly Jews outside of New York deli with, like, people, you know, protest. You know, we've seen Black Lives Matter and anti-police and this and that and insurrection protests and all this stuff. Well, there's a whole bunch of elderly Jews, must be 80, 100 years old, holding big signs outside of New York deli protesting the cost of a pastrami. We want lower pastrami prices. We want lower pastrami. That was just so funny. Hmm. Oh, my God. I would have joined them. I would have sat right there. I would have done a live interview on the Andy DeMandrew show of some of these guys. You know, we're right there with you, man. We need – but also, you know, I should also tell them that you can probably try vegan alternatives. You know, do you ever try vegan alternatives? Do you know the taste of vegan meats, like the Beyond Impossible burgers and Beyond sausages? And when you see that word ahead of a meat product, it means it's vegan. You know, Beyond this, Impossible that. Burger King has the Impossible burger now. It's vegan. I've been barbecuing some vegan meats. I got to tell you, it is every bit as good as any, you know, gourmet burger or whatever you might want to call it I've ever had. I mean, they're really, you know, I don't know if it's soy based or tofu based or.
I think it's soy based. I really do.
I think you're right. Yeah. But good, you know, vegan alternatives. We should do it. Remind me, guys. Let's do a show on vegan alternatives. Like, we should do a show.
Yes.
On
absolutely.
Yes, healthy. That would be great, man. Healthy. And guess what, guys? We could put the when Andy or Amanda, you know, when you cook it, we could put it on the Andy and Amanda Show TikTok and show you how to cook vegan food.
Oh, let's do it.
That'd be cool. Are you guys ready for behind the scenes?
I want to get to behind the scenes, but I just want to say real quick, just in summary of my you know, in concern about shortages and what might happen to our economies ahead of the holiday here and people's. Just want to say that President Biden is now delivering himself. He's going into the delivery business from Amazon Prime.
He's delivering himself.
That's what it says.
Right by the post.
President Biden is delivering.
Ooh, look out, people. You may get a free Biden report.
Oh, my gosh. He's doing a little Nas X.
It's President Biden. I thought I'm talking about the disruption in global supply and blah, 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 blah. And I'm looking at my next card because it says President Biden is delivering. I'm saying, what? But it continues to say President Biden is delivering remarks on his administration's efforts to address global transportation bottlenecks. He's not delivering himself.
Oh.
I thought he was going to help the global supply chain by start delivering Amazon Prime or something. You know what I mean?
hey, Andy, I'm waiting on mine right now. Hopefully it's him.
Hey, Amanda.
Yes, darling.
Let's wait a minute. Let me see if I can get. We're talking about behind the scenes of one of my favorite shows growing up here.
Yes.
And
my crush is on this show too.
It was an amazing show, incredible in production.
I can't follow the logic on that at all.
You'll see why.
That dude is wild.
But we've been putting off the our special, you know, behind the scenes episodes here on the Andy DeMandrew Show of some famous, well-known, respected movies and television productions for quite some time. And I think we should get right into it here.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together hooky, the Addams Family. Their house is a museum, when people come to see them, they really are a scream, the Addams Family.
Neat. Sweet. Petite.
So get a witch's shawl on, a broomstick you can crawl on. We're gonna pay a call on the Addams Family.
Take it away. Before you do, I want to introduce a caller who's been on our show before. Welcome back, Lisa, from, I think, North Carolina, right?
You got it.
All right.
Hey, Lisa,
hey,
buddy,
how you doing?
You're just in time to hear
All doing good, sweetheart. All doing good. Enjoying the show as usual, but it's great to have you back on, darling.
Yeah, I've been listening. I figured let me call in for a few minutes, see what you guys know.
Bless you. Well, we were about to share the behind the scenes for the Addams Family show. Was you a fan? Did you used to watch?
Yeah, not too much, but because it was around, you know, when I was younger. So
yeah.
I like that's the I think most people from that era watched it. I wasn't a big fan of it, but I did watch it.
Okay, that's cool. Okay, well, if everybody's ready, shall I dig in?
Yes.
Yeah.
That means, please.
Alrighty. Okay. So, just a bit of a background. So, in the fall of 1964, ABC debuted a series that introduced viewers to characters that were creepy and kooky, mysterious and spooky, and altogether ooky, but they were also funny, oddly charming, and very likable, right? The series was The Addams Family, a television show based on Charles Addams' cartoons. To the normal characters who came in contact with the clan, the Addams Family might have seemed extremely strange or scary, but the inhabitants of the mansion at 0001 Cemetery Lane saw themselves as very close, loving family with very normal interests. Well, normal to them, right? The television series was not as dark as the comic strip, which is interesting, it was based upon, as the show would place emphasis more on the kooky and less on the spooky. Unfortunately, ABC cancelled the show after just two seasons, but its legacy is still being felt today, as we all know, with more than 50 years since it was first aired. The show has been seen in syndication off and on since the original run ended in 1966, and both seasons can currently be streamed on Amazon Prime Video, which is very cool. So let's get stuck into it, shall we? So the Addams Family characters were actually nameless in the original cartoons. So it was the cover of Charles Addams' 1954 collection, Homebodies, featuring the Addams brood posed before their haunted mansion that captured the attention of David Levy, the former vice president of television programming at NBC, who had begun to produce the show independently. Levy's main and faithful to the cartoonist's distinctive sense of humor. Addams eventually agreed to Levy's idea, but the cartoonist had little role in the direction where the series would go, except for one thing. Other than Cousin It, who was just called It, none of the characters in Addams' cartoons had names, so he was asked to name them for the television series. The one character he didn't name was that of the daughter. It was up to a novelty company, Aboriginals Limited, who were manufacturing tie-in Addams dolls to coincide with the launch of the show to come up with Wednesday for the little girl. Based on the poem Monday's Child, John Astin was given the choice of two names for his character. He's the guy who played Gomez. And he selected Gomez over Rapelli, much to the disappointment of Charles Addams, who preferred the latter. The son's name, meanwhile, was originally going to be Pubert, but it was changed to Pugsley because Pubert sounded too sexual or dirty. The name Pubert was later used for the Addams family's third child, who was made debut in 1993's Addams Family Values. Yeah, I remember that baby Pubert. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. John Astin, so we just covered him, the guy who played Gomez, nearly played the butler. After appearing in a film called The Wheeler Dealers, produced by Filmways, John Astin negotiated a contract with the company. When he met with the assistant to the head of Filmways, Astin was told about three projects: the film's Americanization of Emily and The Loved One, and a television project involving Charles Addams' cartoons. He could only be on one of the projects, and although he wanted to do the Americanization of Emily, James Coburn ended up playing the key role. The television project was the one likely to be produced first. When he first met with the show's executives about possibly being the cast for Addams Family television show, he was offered the part of the butler, who was originally the main character. The actor had doubts about his ability to play the role, which he expressed to the executive producer, David Levy, at a follow-up meeting. Levy agreed that he shouldn't play the butler, then offered him the part of the husband instead.
When Astin accepted, the focus of the series was changed. In 2012, Astin told a reporter for the Baltimore Sun that Levi had described the show to him as a father knows best with other people. That's pretty interesting. So Caroline Jones, who played Morticia, was Charles Adams' personal choice to play Morticia. Yeah, she was fine.
That was my baby right there. That's my crush right there. Keep talking, Amanda.
I'll keep talking.
I heard it took her 2 hours just to do them every episode. 2 hours just to make her up for that role. 2 hours.
Wow, really? That's incredible. Yeah. Once Austin was cast as Gomez, the hunt was on for the actor to play Morticia. The producers pursued Barbara Steele for the part, but Steele, who was living in Rome at the time, wasn't interested in returning to the United States to do a television series. Creator David Levi wasn't happy with any of the actors that had tested. It was her estranged husband, Alan Spelling — the couple were in the midst of a divorce at the time, by the way — who alerted her that the producers were looking for a Caroline Jones type. Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actress for her role in Bachelor Party in 1957, but was frustrated that she hadn't really been able to move into leading roles. But then Spelling told her the series was going to be based on the cartoons of Charles Adams. Joan was already a fan of Adams' work. He appealed to her snob instincts, she said later, and had even met him on film set one time, a meeting that didn't go smoothly as her poodle, Contessa, bit him. Still, Adams was eager for Jones to accept the role after she agreed to do the series. And the cartoonist sent her the telegram that read, "I know you will make a darling Morticia, but please leave Contessa at home." The two would quickly become close friends, and Caroline believed that her large, bulging eyes, which she had once hated, were the reason she got the part. Mm, that's interesting. What do you boys think? Mm. Mm. Do you think her eyes won her over? Or was it her early figure?
You know, she was, you know, the hair that she wore?
Mm.
You know, the hair?
Oh, you think it was the hair? Okay, okay.
No, I think it was the dress.
Okay, so John Astin and Caroline Jones. Yes. What, darling?
Yeah.
You were going to say something? Oh, okay. John Astin and Caroline Jones were attracted to each other. So John Astin has admitted that he and Caroline Jones were immediately attracted to each other, but kept it strictly professional. They used their personal chemistry to give Gomez and Morticia a grand romance as an antidote to the virtually sexless parents then common on television shows. In an interview for the Television Academy Foundation, Astin said that while he and Jones have different comedic styles, those styles blended very well. There's a playful sexuality between Gomez and Morticia, the kind you wish your parents would have exhibited, said Andrew Lipper, the Tony Award-nominated composer and lyricist, Broadway show of Adam's Family. Here I am watching reruns after school every day of a beautiful couple who lets you know it's okay to touch. We used to do joke promos for the show where I'd say, "My wife and I are best adjusted couple on television," Astin told the Baltimore Sun in 2012. "I think we influenced the tone of the 60s with that kind of freedom and warmth, you know, peace and love. But the fact that Gomez and Morticia got obviously excited about one another was something the studio got letters on, which was kind of stupid." In James Plant's biography of Jones, her stepdaughter, Deborah Green, was quoted stating that Jones had complained about Astin always trying to upstage her and hog the camera, but people by an interview had worked with Astin and Gomez on the Adams Family denied ever having seen any tension between the actors. So, okay, on to the next. Caroline Jones Morticia costume took about 20 minutes to get off. So you were right, darling. It took a long time for this process. Caroline Jones and costume designer Nolan Miller wanted a unique costume for Morticia that was both comical and sexy. Miller said that Morticia's outfit was the most difficult one he ever had to design. The dress was very tight, especially around the feet, but had Velcro up the back, allowing the dress to be open so that Jones could walk around when she wasn't on camera. Reportedly, there were 30 identical dresses made. In a backstage interview, Jones said that between her wig, which was made of real human hair, makeup and costume, it took her about 2 hours to get out of everything. The dress alone took around 20 minutes. Holy moly. I think I'd give up half a five.
Yeah.
Be like, that shit's staying on. Ken Weathermax and Lisa Loring were not allowed on set when there were scenes involving the family's pet lion. So Ken and Lisa, by the way, are Pugsley and Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah.
So
Wednesday's
Name's
hot.
Kitty
Have
Cat.
You seen her? Do you see
yeah.
what Wednesday looks like? You
yeah.
look her up. She is hot.
Okay.
Very, very hot. She's got nice
okay.
American
form.
Yeah, form.
Named Kitty Cat, the Adams' pet, in reality said to be a retired circus lion, although there was a trainer named Steve Martin on set, not the actor, I don't believe. The people running the show were very careful and tried to keep the set as safe as possible in any scenes involving the lion. In fact, the actors playing Wednesday and Pugsley were not allowed on set when they were shooting scenes with the lion to minimize the danger to the cast. They filmed the scene of the lion coming down the stairs just once, then they reused the footage when needed. Aww, that's pretty cool. Okay. Lurch wasn't meant to speak until Ted Cassidy
right.
ad-libbed in his edition. So originally the character of the
right.
butler...
You rang.
Yeah.
That was all ad-libbed. That was not in the script. He
yeah.
just did that on his own.
That's
yeah.
right.
It was a hit. Yeah.
Originally the character was not meant to speak or only groan or grunt. But when Ted Cassidy ad-libbed the line, I'm getting so tongue-tied. In his addition, in the scene where the family rang the servant bell, it went over so well that Lurch was rewritten to speak on occasion. Cassidy's character became so popular that the writers eventually came up with episodes that centered around the character, such as when Lurch's mother comes to visit.
Amanda, you know Lurch, every time I wake up in the morning, I look just like him.
I don't believe that for a second, my darling.
That's why I don't say his name 5 times in the mirror.
Oh, that sounds like some cool shit. Lisa Loring learned to memorize lines before she could read. So Lisa Loring was just 5 years old with limited acting experience when she cast in the role of Wednesday Addams. She learned later that she was chosen in large part because she looked like Carolyn Jones, who was to play her character's mother, Morticia. She was so young that she learned to memorize her lines before she could read. According to Loring, at her audition, the executive producer, David Levi, read her lines to her, and after the second time through, she was able to repeat them back to him. She later did a screen test, and Levi and John Astin chose her for the part. As of October 2019, Lauren is one of the 3 surviving cast members of the Addams Family television series. The others are John Astin and Felix Siller, who played Cousin It. And since she wasn't allowed to smile as Wednesday, Caroline Jones would make her laugh in between takes. So Wednesday's Addams name is a reference to the nursery rhyme Monday's Child, as I covered, which contains the line, Wednesday's child is full of woe because of her character was supposed to be morose. And adult Lisa Young explained in an interview that she was never allowed to smile while on camera, which she admitted was very strange for a young child, but in between scenes, Jones would do something to make Loring laugh. She also doesn't remember anyone teaching her the steps for the infamous dance scene. So in season 2, episode where Lurch's grand romance, Wednesday attempts to teach Lurch how to dance so he can impress a woman he is interested in. She tells Lurch that he needs to learn to dance so that his date won't think that he's square. In recent years, a clip of this scene that is up on YouTube has gotten more than 2 million views. In an interview she did at a 2018 Silicon Valley Comic Con, Lauren said that she didn't really dance like that as a kid, but couldn't remember if a choreographer or someone else had taught her the steps. She also doesn't I've copied that twice. Ignore that. Wrong information. So the next one is Ken Weatherwax was allergic to the clothes the costume designers made for him. So little old Pugsley, who played the quiet one on the Addams Family, came from a show business family. He was the nephew of a 30s film star, Ruby Keeler, as well as the man who worked as Lassie's trainer. Oh, prior to being cast on the Addams Family, he had become a familiar face on television due to a series of commercials for Gleam of toothpaste. His health issues caused some issues on the set. He was allergic to a multitude of things, including 100% wool clothes the costume designers made. So his mother bought the clothes he wore on the show. Oh, bless her. Lurch Hey, this might help you feel better, Cornell. Lurch got fan mail from teenage girls.
Really?
So, oh yeah, yeah, apparently so. It says Lurch may have been a man of few words, but that didn't keep him from being a hip with the ladies. Ted Cassidy got
so he
a
had
lot
the
of fan mail.
Effect, huh?
Oh yeah, they obviously like the dark and mysterious type.
Yes, that's me.
Yes. The pockets of Gomez's suits were lined with asbestos. Oh, my goodness. So in the television series, Gomez Adams is often seen holding or smoking a lit cigar, which he then often put in his suit pocket in order to protect him from getting singed. For the other costumes having rolls burned in them.
Oops.
The show's prop masters, I know, right, lined the suit pockets with asbestos. Although the character occasionally smoked in the original Charles Adams cartoons, he became a heavier smoker on the television series. That's probably because he was around, you know, Carolyn all the time. He's like, oh, all this sexual tension, I've got to release this anxiety. Acton was a cigar smoker in real life and thought it would be a good character quirk for Gomez. We never wanted Gomez to use a short cigar, Acton told Stephen Cox. It wasn't elegant. If we got to take 2, 3, 4 and the cigar ash was getting too long, I would have to light up another cigar. He makes a fair point.
Yeah, they would have been okay.
Knock it off!
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have just two more little bits of information to go. So, John Astin's son or sons would ask him to put on his eyes and scare them. So, in 1964 interview he did on American Bandstand, Astin said that when he came home one night, still wearing his stage makeup, which caused two of his sons, who were 3 and 5 at the time, to scream and run away. But when they saw him the next morning without his makeup on, they asked him to put on his eyes and scare them.
Oh my gosh.
Bless them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
The last bit of information is members of the cast said many of the quirky props were taken from the closed set when the show was cancelled. So one of the parts of the lyricist Adams Family theme song goes,
yeah,
the house is a museum when people come to see him. And in a way, that set that served as an interior of the Adams' home was a museum. The stage was furnished with a variety of unusual pieces, such as a harpsichord Lurch loved to play and a large stuffed brown bear, which was really a polar bear painted brown by the set designers. In the commentary included on the DVD of the television series, some of the cast members stated that when the news broke that the series wouldn't be renewed for a third series, many of the props were taken from the closed set. The whereabouts of those props reportedly remain unknown. One prop was not taken was the wicker chair that Morticia was often shown sitting in. The producers gifted the chair to Caroline Jones, who kept it in her bedroom for the remainder of her life.
They also gave her her hair. He gave her that was made of human hair. They gave her that too. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That was
kind of
fun.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you know, do you remember the big monster the stairs used to lift up and there was a great big monster that would come out of the stairs occasionally and they'd have guests over?
Yeah, you're talking about Thing? No, that was
the stairs lifted up and a big roaring monster he lived under this main stairwell of their house.
Yeah.
It was a big dinosaur lived on it, if you remember that. But anyway, that was my great grandmother.
Hey, Andy, I knew you had stars in the family. You always try to hide stuff from us.
And, you know, there's a lot of spinoffs. You know, those spinoffs, and some of the actors of the Addams Family got to do some of the voices in the animated spinoffs that happened. And, you know, and of course, you know, you've got Pugsley Adams died at a heart attack at 59 years old. He's no longer with us. The girl who played Wednesday came back. She became addicted to heroin in 1991. And went to rehab and came out and got some small bit parts in 2011 or so, but is pretty much, you don't really hear or see much of her anymore. And of course, Mr. Gomez Adams, what's his name again? Ted Cruz? No.
John Astin.
John Astin, I'm sorry, I couldn't think, yeah. John Astin, who lives in Baltimore now in his 90s, has come back here and there to do some Adams Family when they've done like the movie recreations and so forth. He'll do a voice where he comes back and does an occasional acting part. But he's most of them are, you know, every most of the whole. I think Wednesday is still with us. John Astin is still with us. Uncle Fester died. Jackie Coogan. Uncle Fester did. He was a silent film star as a kid. I think he was part of the R Gang, and he went way back into silent films. Interesting story about this guy. I want to talk about this for a second. He made at the time in the 20s. You know, he made quite a bit of money in those days a child actor. And his stepfather, mother, squandered those funds away, and he would later sue them and won. And a California law came into effect called the Coogan Act. And for any parents out there or of would-be, you know, kids who want to get into acting, as my oldest daughter was before she was 18, you know, still a minor, something called the Coogan Act. And what that means is that you own, as a kid, as a minor, you have to go to a bank with appropriate paperwork from the production facility and your parents' signature and everything else. You go to a major bank and you open up what's called a Coogan account, Coogan account, I guess how you pronounce it. And those accounts don't, you just can't go in and open up one. You have to have the appropriate paperwork accompanying your role as a child actor or as a minor. And what it does is when you get paid from production, at the time, the minor only is eligible to receive 10% of the fee until age 18.
Really?
So my daughter got some parts at 15 years old, 16 years old. And matter of fact, did some commercials with some NBA players, and I forget, did an award show. I forget what it was. Anyway, so when she became 18 – she played Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. No, I'm kidding. She she got that account. It was, you know, she went to a bank and said, hey, here's my birth certificate. I'm 18, and bam, the account was closed, and she got the money. So that's how that works. And also, talking about minor actors as Wednesday and Pugsley and so many others, as a minor, you're required to have, I think, when you're on a full day production, you need to have, I think, 4 or 3.5 hours of tutoring, academic tutoring on set. So that means production has to hire a licensed teacher, a tutor, to guide these kids through academics so they don't lose anything while they're, working as an actor. And, when they go back to public school, if they go back to regular school, some very few actors who are minors go on to a career thereafter. But they do, many of them go back to school and college and pursue careers, some acting, many not. When they go back to public school, they are not left behind, academically, because they spent four seasons on, whatever the movie might be or TV show.
That's why. I mean, I feel for them. That's a lot of work, isn't it, for a child actor to, they're trying to do all their lines and get these parts right, and then they've got to worry about schoolwork as well at the same time. It's just, wow. Very heavy load for a child.
It's a significant amount of work. It is. And the guy who played Lurch, that was his, defining role. He's no longer with us either. He died at a young age of he had a benign tumor on his heart that had to be removed and passed away with complications from that.
Was he really that tall, Andy?
Yes, 6'9". 6'9".
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Almost 7
feet. That's very tall. How tall are you, Cornell?
4 feet.
6'9". I told you I wasn't.
We represent the lollipop king.
I'm a lucky elf.
I'm gonna look like that stood next to Cornell because I'm 5'7", so
I love that height. That's like my favorite height for a girl.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm. We got to talk. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, Andy, how tall are you?
5'9". Exactly. I'm exactly 5'9".
Nice. I'm the shortest of the crew. Excellent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm 6'9", so, Oh, my gosh. Andy took it the wrong way. 6'9". I'm going back to 6'2".
I see.
I'm going back to 6'2".
Hey. Woo-wee. Woo-wee. That explains it, Cornell. This guy had more women. Oh, excuse me. Anyway.
That's why, right? He was 6'9".
He's full of shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, there's some other things I wanted to get to in the news we'll talk about on Friday's show. And also, I want to talk about Friday's show because John Astin, not John Astin, he's Adam's family, Joe Richmond will be joining us.
Yeah.
It would be funny if John Astin would come on the show.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, he lives in Baltimore. I heard he's approachable. Guys, crew, let's, powers that be, let's try to get him on the show. And I'm sure he's willing to come
so
on and talk to us. Let's make that happen. Let's get John on the show, talk about the Adams family, some other things. Why not? Why not? What he's doing now, his career, some experiences that he had in filming the Adams family. I'm sure he'd be delighted to come on our program and we'll make that happen. So let's do that, and we'll announce when that will happen. It'd be great to have him on. And also, we're going to bring Mark Lester back. We've been talking about that for a long time, and he's been on my mind and what he's doing now. He played the role of Oliver when he was 8 years old and has gone on to become very successful as an orthopedist in Mandy's hometown.
We
talked about that. And actually spending, you know, because he's on quite a while ago, my God, last winter. And he said, yeah, I'd love to come back on, been in touch a little here and there, and we wanted to do that. Now, not so much talk about the movie Oliver, which, of course, we have to a little bit, but talk about what he's doing now and maybe provide some advice from our callers who might have low back pain ailments and other things that he can address. So
I think he's been traveling a lot from what I've made out from his Twitter account, because the last communication I have with him, he said, we'll arrange it, and, you know, he was going to get back to me. But, you know, I can chase him up and see. But,
let's
traveling around a lot.
Yeah, I know they're coming back over here. He and his wife are coming here over Thanksgiving. They're going to Texas and then up to Vegas. And they're flying into LAX. I was going to try to get together with them, actually, in LAX and, you know, say hi and hang out, pick them up at the airport or whatever they might need while they're here. And they go to Texas and then Vegas and back to UK or something like that. I don't know, but we got to follow up on that, Amanda. We got to follow up on that.
Absolutely.
He's a great guy. But some things I want to talk about that we didn't get to today that I wanted to do is the lingering discussion on the federal budget. As we know, we're about to have a catastrophic event where the United States would default on all of our loans, you know. When Mitch McConnell was the majority leader in the Senate, he had no issue extending as many times, I think up to 30 times, the entire length of the Trump presidency, and refused to do so when Biden took office, and which has caused that issue, that roadblock. Since, of course, there's no way, and McConnell said this when Trump was in office, there's no way we're going to default on government loans. Well, when Biden took office, I'd like to play those clips back to back and see what he said when he's a minority leader and there's a Democrat in the White House. Unbelievable. He doesn't, you know, they don't, the GOP, not holistically, but for a large part, or what we see anyway, isn't concerned about education, isn't concerned about infrastructure in the United States, about catching up with some of the other parts, Western civilizations, you know, and other more advanced civilizations in the world in terms of bridges and railways and airports and infrastructure and education and, you know, and medical care, and, you know, it goes on. They care about one thing, themselves, and they're afraid of Donald Trump to this day, where Donald Trump has no more right than any citizen does. He no longer has pardoning power. You know, he's walking around and giving rallies like he's still president. It's unbelievable. Anyway, I want to talk about that federal budget being extended in our next show on Friday. And you know, again, Trump, we'll play some clips of what Trump's been saying. He went to Iowa last Saturday and had a rally. And of course, a lot of people left. There weren't all that many people there comparatively, but he's still running around the country claiming that the election was stolen from him. And we all know the truth behind that. Unbelievable. And we need to dive into a little bit more that the record number of 4.3 million people quit their jobs in August, which is evidence, you know, considerable evidence of the workers have on today's economy and what's going on.
Yeah.
4.3 million people quit their jobs in August. Florida.
Wow.
Florida. There's a county in Florida that's being sued by Florida for enforcing vaccine passports to the tune of $3.5 million. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Unbelievable. And I don't know how many people are following the tragedy of Gabby Petito, that adorable, energetic, bright 22-year-old that was murdered while on a trip across the country with her supposed lover and boyfriend, who's now disappeared. And the boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, has not been officially accused of her death. She was strangled. He was the only one she was with, and innocent until presumed, until proven guilty. But we can all draw our own conclusions and assumptions. But anyway, the cause of her death, which is not told just this week, it was a homicide, and they said the homicide was in fact by strangulation. So
wow.
I've been following Gabby Petito's tragic death and her demise and her trip across the country with this guy. We'll talk maybe more about that on Friday. Also, as I said, Joe Richmond is joining us on Friday, former coach of the Washington Generals, the team that tours with the Harlem Globetrotters and gets beaten by them every game, and also part of the Harlem Globetrotters organization, at one time an ambassador to the Philadelphia 76ers NBA basketball team. And now that NBA is opening up, it'll be great to have Joe Richmond back on the show again to talk about some highlights of the upcoming NBA season. Also, he being the sports expert that he is, that's what he's been doing his whole career. And we're going to talk about – that's what he's been doing. But we're going to talk about – the National Baseball League, the playoffs are underway right now, and there's an incredible series that is taking place between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. Of course, I'm in L.A. The Giants are up north. Both teams at one time were early on until 57, were in New York. The Dodgers were the Brooklyn Dodgers. The Giants were the New York Giants, and so was the New York Giants football team, who remains there. And they've been rivals ever since. And when they moved to the West Coast, the Owners Association at the time said if both teams must move to the West Coast, if one team doesn't, then the deal's off. They have to stay where they are in New York. And both teams agreed to move to the West Coast. They've been rivals ever since. And there's an amazing, amazing baseball series going on right now. Game 5, the final, is on Thursday evening on TBS. And it is at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, whatever time that is in the world. If you have a pulse, you need to be watching that game. Even if you're not a baseball fan and whatever, it's been exciting as hell. I got to tell you, you got to watch these two teams play on Thursday night, again, 8 p.m. on TBS, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I'm sure it'll be broadcast around the world. You've got to catch it. And that's what's happening here, and we'll talk more on Friday. It'll be great. And we'll also, of course, we'll see what the stock market's doing on Friday. We'll talk more about the AMC show, what's going on with that, or should I say AMC shit show, as the case may be. What's going on with that stock and other stocks, what I've been doing, AMC's, we don't really care what the value of the AMC stock is. We'll talk about that, but we want to talk about the short squeeze as predicted, and that's going to make a bunch of people a lot of money, supposedly. Talk about that. And that's about all she wrote, I think, for this Andy and Amanda program on Wednesday, October 13th, 1. We want to thank everybody for joining us. Amanda. Cornell, those of you who Cornell wasn't properly introduced. People saying, who is that man? Who is that guy? Cornell introduced Amanda and I. Yeah. None of us have ever met. It's kind of a mystery how we're doing this, 18 months later, and, 300 and some shows later. None of us have ever met. We're broadcast around the world on Internet Talk Radio. Again, our number is 515-605-9888. And go to our website, andyandamandashow.com. Anything I left out here, I think. But do you think that pretty much done all the plugs I need to plug? Amanda, did you see that promo, the video for the show?
Yes, my darling, I did. Great job.
So we invite everybody to tune into this video promo for the Andy and Amanda Show, wherever you might be. And I don't know what medium it's on or whatever. You recall those things.
It's like two of y'all, you and Anna, man. I'm like, okay, which one I'm going to put on Tuesday? I'm like, Devil and David, both of them are great.
Yeah, Andy,
like,
we both produced one at the same time, darling.
Yeah,
I know.
What I was telling Andy.
Cornell that was crazy.
I called Cornell. I said, hey, I'll send you an email. Get it. I'll make sure you got it, okay? A video? And he said, yeah, Amanda's video. I said, no. What? Amanda's what? You and I, Amanda.
Yeah.
It's frightening how we are, as and we've only known each other on the radio. We've never met. It is absolutely frightening how in tune we are. I should say frightening. That would be the Addams Family. It's whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's mysterious in a way.
Yes, it is because when Amanda, you know, texts me her video that she did, and then Andy called me, did you see the video? I said, yeah. And he was like, no, the one out of there. I was like, hold it. Well, what's going on?
I know. Literally had an email come through afterwards after I finished editing it. And I was like, well, what's this? And I checked it out. I was like, oh, my goodness.
I'm like, okay.
Like, it is just, you know, our same thought processes, our same take on the world and life and politics and things and humanity and social justice and physical things. Well,
how do you say it in the urban community? Okay.
Houston, we have a problem.
I
couldn't believe my eyes.
Oh, you boys. Mm. So funny. Mm.
The wolf lady doesn't like you behind?
Yes.
Pardon?
Not behind me.
I was going to say, behind what? Excuse me? I'm just panning over my shoulder right now.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it is crazy how in tune. But we all are, in a sense. I mean,
yes.
There's so many occasions that, you know, Cornell has messaged and I've been like, yeah, I've just been thinking the same thing, and, you know, and you guys, well, not quite that, but, you know.
You know what's so crazy? When Andy did that, right, the sound came and I got up out of my seat and made sure. I was like, hold it. I'm like, hold it. I thought I left the stain on my seat. I'm like, hold it, that's not me.
Yes, leave the skid marks for the road.
Yes, definitely. It's called,
you know,
wipe your ass so you won't have skid marks.
You talk about these things, and you know,
it's going down very rapidly, really rapidly.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Andy. Would you like us to raise the occasion?
You know. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I do. Wow. It's been a great show coming back. I was offered a show this week. It's been so much fun, right?
I hear
there's rumors on the internets.
Yeah, there have been.
Oh.
We're
definitely
back. We're here. Yeah, there is. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, my boys.
You know,
is it okay to
fake an
orgasm?
Oh, shit.
What?
Whoa.
Well, we've...
Is that a question for us or just the our listeners?
Our listeners, really. You know.
It's a question for Lurch.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it on Friday.
Lurch.
Yeah, for Lurch. I got to get some Lurch clips in here. Oh, I've definitely got to get some Lurch clips in here. Oh, yeah.
So I guess for Lurch, if he's faking an orgasm, it's kind of the groans he does, like, okay? If he's actually achieved it, it'd be like, you run!
Yeah, right? He'd probably do it like the... And then when they achieve it, he'd be like...
Squirrel like a pig!
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Oh, you know, oh man, it's going to sit there. So I guess we're back Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Wednesday, like Savings Time. Anybody know when that is by chance?
No, actually.
I think
Japanese are involved here.
We'll have to ask them then. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we need to know.
The main thing is to get plenty of advice.
Well, I'm trying. I asked if, when is daylight savings time. I'm looking for people to tell me when it is. I guess we don't
okay,
know.
Okay. Let's have a look. I can find that out for us right now.
Because we should. That'll change our
time. When people are pounded night after night, it naturally shapes their confidence.
Wow. Where's the beef?
That clip always gets me every time. It's just so funny.
Yeah.
I just can't stop laughing. I laugh like it's the first time of me hearing it.
Perhaps what happened is that what we did brought it about.
Okay, it says you want to know for the United States, so...
No, I want to know for the world.
No coordination, no nothing.
Yeah, I want to know for the, world.
Well, daylight saving time started on the 14th of March, 2021, and it ends on the 7th of November.
Oh, so we get some time. Okay, bad
mark. Yeah, we got some time.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, well, guys, I guess we're about to wrap here for this
That's
Wednesday.
Awesome.
Yeah, and
hey, love it.
Hey, you know something? Lisa's been patiently listening in on our nonsense here. Lisa, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh my God! Thank you, Lisa.
Oh my goodness!
Oh my God! You ran.
I would have hung up.
Lisa.
I would have hung up
Putin
a long time
said
ago.
Donald Trump is a genius. Putin
I would have hung up
I
in
am,
the first
by
the way, 2 minutes.
Vladimir Putin. I'm so sorry. I actually sent Lisa a message on WhatsApp whilst we were still on air saying, you know, thank you for coming on and speaking to us on the show.
Yes.
And I didn't realize all the while she was on the line.
Lisa, thank you for coming on. We'll say it in person, guys. Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome. That's good for me to be quiet, hey, Mandy?
Sorry, what's that? What?
It's something for me to be quiet for 45 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a rare occasion, people.
Yes. That was kind of when we was like, is Lisa still on? She'd say yes. I'm like, huh? Oh, my God. She didn't even mess it. No.
Yeah. Well, you know,
the craziness of us.
When we're quiet, Lisa. When we're
Republicans
quiet,
love it.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
For now, I'm from New York, so you know I'm from up that way by Philadelphia, where you guys are from. So
yes, yes. I can tell by your accent. You have a New York accent.
Yeah. I was laughing when you were talking about the rats, because you know the sewer rats in New York. You know how they can.
Oh my God! Tell me about it, man. I was in New York one time, and I've seen a rat. I was like, oh, my gosh, is that a rat or is that a dinosaur?
Rat. The rat, they are overtaking New York.
We're
going to
do very well. We've done a great job.
Yeah. They're
taking it. The biggest rat. What I'm saying?
Yes.
That's
what
it is. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Dirty rat.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard there's an issue with the rats. We should follow up on that too. Because I've just learned about that from Cornell. That's wow. That's something else. Yes.
Well,
oh,
talking of rats. Yeah, go on.
Mm-hmm. No, I want to say also. I forgot to mention this. I want to get this back on the show too. I had a scammer.
You want to get the rat back on the show?
I do. A rat. He's a scammer.
Oh.
Claiming to be the United States. Claiming to be the U.S. Social Security Office. And I was able to almost patch him into the show, to create a show yesterday, and I lost the dude, but I want to get him back on the show. Maybe that next week we'll play another episode of Catch the Scammer. You guys are from, if anybody is aware, you know, senior citizens that might be listening wherever you are in the United States, or I don't know where else, but I guess the U.S., they call and impersonate a Social Security person saying that there's a lien on your Social Security account, that there's been fraudulent activity on your number, what number, in Texas. And cars have been bought in your name and thousands of dollars and drugs have been sent and they're putting a lien on your account and you've got to go to Target, get a gift card and of thousands of dollars, read them the back of it, and that'll quiet the whole thing. I don't know how they do it, but I played along with the guy yesterday for quite some time. But I just want to put that alert out there. If anybody gets a phone call from somebody claiming to be the IRS, claiming to be Social Security, claiming to be anybody from the government whatsoever,
yes.
it's a scam. Hang up on them or just have fun with them like I do. Just, mm-hmm. Just know that there's no, don't give any information. I give them a wrong name. I give them a wrong social security, four digits and blah, blah, blah. I don't give them any real, they ask for your bank accounts, how much you have in each account. I make up bank names. I make up an ounce. You know, I made myself a multi-millionaire yesterday. Yeah, I'm in the Portuguese Bank of Omaha. Oh, really? How much do you have in there? Let me look. I went along with this. Let me look at my Portuguese Bank of Omaha account here. Here it is. It says I've got two accounts. I've got one that has $468,000 in an IRA, and I've got another one with my savings, which is just my expensive money I use. That's got $3,200. And I've got my checking account that has $9,860. Any other accounts? Any other accounts that you have? Yeah, I've got another bank account at the Lithuanian Bank of Nebraska. And let me see what I got in that account. I give me all this money. He's taking it all. And he's taking it all down. How do you? I said Lithuanian. What account? I said the Lithuanian Bank of Nebraska. I can give you the website if you want it. No, that's okay. Just tell me how much you have in there. Okay, I have. And I was having such – and why this is happening, I'm trying to create a show to get him on your show. I was, trying to get – and I asked him, I said, can – and then he says, are you near stores? I said, I'm near lots of stores. What stores are you near? Rite Aid, CVS, Target. I know some of these stores because I know where they have gift cards that they want you to go to get a gift. So he says, go to a Target, and I'll wait on the phone with you. I said, can I call you back from a different number, meaning my show number, get on the show? I have a cell phone I keep in my car, and since I'm driving to Target – because I have another number in my car, I'd rather just call you back on that phone, meaning our show number, right? And so he said, what's that number? I said, the number again is 515-605-9888. The number again, 515-605-9888. And so then he waits a couple minutes. He says, who's Amanda? I said, that's my wife. That's my wife. What you ask about my wife? That's Amanda. your wife.
Wow.
Said, yes. And she shares those accounts with me. So if you got a message when you called that number, that's who that is. And she says, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a radio host.
Oh.
You are? I said, yeah, I'm a radio host. I was about to say, as a matter of fact, you've been a guest. But it was on my cell phone. I couldn't, I wanted to go. I wanted to follow up on that. As a matter of fact, you're on live right now. Welcome to the Andy and Amanda Show.
And they were like, yo, what the fuck?
You're the dean of comedy. You're the greatest. You're the elder statesman of humor. You deserve attention and respect.
Thank you. At least somebody says so.
Yes.
At least somebody says so. Hey, we got to go. Let's talk more on Friday. Let's pick this up on Friday. We'll talk more about all the stunts we're talking about. We can go on for a long time, but we won't. We got to cut out of here before internet radio turns us off, which has happened before, and we don't want that to happen now. So let's get out of here. Alicia, thanks for joining us, man, and call back on Friday. Listen in.
Peace
you're welcome
out,
to call back. You're welcome to tune in anytime, Lisa. You're a great friend of our show. We welcome you anytime, and thanks for getting in touch with us. And Cornell,
absolutely, darling,
our show coordinator, this wouldn't be happening if it weren't for you. This whole show would not have existed if it weren't for you. And thank you very much. It'd be great to have you back on board again. And Amanda,
absolutely,
wanted to go ahead.
Oh, y'all the best, man. Y'all know. You know what, guys? Don't worry about listeners.
Don't cry. Don't cry.
I mean, what Andy just said, he's definitely going to edit that out. So you're not going to hear it on the podcast.
So I guess we should get the hell out of Dodge here. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, Amanda, why don't you – we'll see everybody Friday again, 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, wherever time zone that is around the world. One new country came on board with just a few listeners, but they are on board. It's the country of Estonia. I don't know anything about them, but welcome, Estonia.
Ooh, welcome.
Thank you. That's where alerts live at.
We're back up. We dropped the country, but we're back up to 23 countries. Russia is not on the map anymore, so I don't know what happened there. But anyway, we are back. So we're down to 22. We're back up to 23 now, which is
thank you.
Okay.
Are we clear? Are we clear?
So grateful, guys. Thank you for listening to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Aww. Anyway. Bless them.
Amanda, get this the hot off the show here. Take us home. We'll see everybody on Friday.
Okay, absolutely. So on behalf of Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, myself, Amanda Love here in the UK, thank you to Cornell Butler, our awesome coordinator, for joining us. We love and miss you when you're not here. And thank you to Lisa for calling in and joining us and staying silent
absolutely.
For nearly half
you
hour while we did the show. But more importantly, thank you to you guys, listeners, for, you know, supporting us and listening and keep showing up. We truly appreciate you and love you and thank you. Being here with us, and catch us on Friday for some more fun.
Absolutely. I want to give that number out again one more time. You're calling on Friday. It's 515-605-9888. Feel free, folks, and all the best. We'll see you Friday. Take care, everybody.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.